Good evening and welcome to our site. Who would have thought a year ago that in the middle of 2021 we would still be battling this global pandemic of COVID-19? Here in South Africa, we're battling with the third wave. The province of Gauteng is battling at the moment so many people suffering from COVID-19. So many people have died from this dreaded disease. Here in the Western Cape, we're struggling with the third wave that has now arrived on our doorstep. And so for our congregation, we've had to once again shut down our Sunday services. This is a sad situation, is it not? But one of the sad factors is that there are so many people today who are being filled with fear. Now, it's natural to fear this virus, it's natural to fear death. But the encouraging thing for us as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ is that we have a God who wants us to overcome our fears, a God who wants to deliver us from all of our fears. And so let's bow together in prayer this evening and ask the Lord to help us personally. And perhaps you'd like to pray for those whom you know who are battling with fear at the moment. Our Father and our God, we thank you that this evening the way is open to your throne of grace through the merits of Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so we come in faith, dear Father, knowing that you are a God who is love and that you can enable us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And we thank you that you're able to deliver us from all of our fears. We pray this evening for so many people who are struggling with a spirit of fear in the light of this global pandemic, and we pray that tonight your word may bring encouragement and blessing, release and deliverance, wholeness and happiness. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Just a word from the Word of God in the Old Testament in Psalm 34. There's a wonderful psalm where the psalmist David says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. What a wonderful thing that we can fill our hearts and minds this evening with the promises of God, with the sure and certain word of the Lord. In Isaiah 41:10, the Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Paul says to the Christians at Rome, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The psalmist said in Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid." Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Deuteronomy 31, 8, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Psalm 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalm 91, verses 5 to 7 and 11. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 5. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, says the Lord, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Jesus said to his disciples, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Paul to the Romans, You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, dear Father. Paul to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. Proverbs 18:10, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Psalm 3 and verse 3, You are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me. You lift up my head. Praise the Lord. He is able to deliver us from all of our fears. But fear is a very natural thing, is it not? And so the first thing we need to do to overcome our fears is to face them head on. And that's not always easy, is it? Because fear has so many faces: fear of failure, fear of heights, fear of the unknown, fear of rejection, fear of enclosed spaces, fear of bankruptcy, fear of unemployment, fear of new people, fear of rejection, fear of change, fear of war, fear of the future, fear of death. Phobias of many kinds raise their ugly heads, things we never really thought about many years ago, like homophobia or xenophobia or Islamophobia. Now, fear's a relative of anxiety, isn't it? But strictly speaking, they're quite different emotions. Anxiety is usually a vague and unspecified apprehension. Fear nearly always has a specific object. Another thing we need to do, then, is separate natural and healthy fear from unnatural and unhealthy fear. Not all fears are bad. Fear of danger, fear of injury, fear of infection, a fear of the devastating effects of substance abuse. These are healthy fears that can work positively for us, keeping us from unnecessary harm and hardship. But we're talking about debilitating and destructive fear this evening, fears that find their source in the enemy very often, Satan, fears that rob us of victory, that is our birthright as followers of Jesus. Here's the beautiful thing, friend. It's so obvious that Jesus wants his own victorious life to be ours as well. Do you know I say that? Because every time his disciples were fearful, Jesus said, Fear not, or be of good cheer. Jesus lived a life that was free of any foolish or unnecessary fear. Whether he was dealing with an angry mob or a madman who could break his chains or an angry sea, there was nothing in the natural that Jesus feared, nor was there anything in the supernatural realm that Jesus feared. He fought the devil head-on after his baptism, and he fought a battle in Gethsemane that caused hemidrosis. He sweated great drops of blood. But his only fear, if he had one, was not to fulfill his Father's will. That's an important point for us to grasp this evening. But there was no fear of circumstance or death or evil. In the garden, Jesus was able to say, Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given to me? John 18:11. The Christ who says, Fear not, to you this evening, is a Redeemer King who is able to enable us to conquer every fear. And he longs to do it. That's the good news. Jesus wouldn't say, "Fear not," to mock you, dear friend. In fact, he says, "I'll show you who to fear. Don't fear those who can hurt the body. Fear God, who has the power to throw you into hell." Luke 12:5. This is not fear that has torment, this fear of God he's talking about. It's a healthy respect and reverence for the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, your Creator, the sustainer of the universe, reverential awe, the God who is with us, the God who is within us, the God who is for us. How right the hymn writer when he says, "Fear God, and you'll have nothing else to fear." And so it begs the question this evening, why was Jesus so free of fear? And the answer, because he had complete confidence and trust in his heavenly Father, who is too wise to make a mistake, too loving to do us harm, and all his purposes are good. His plans for us are positive, not negative. They have an eternal goal in view. Jesus shows us that perfect love casts out fear. Literally translated, perfect love drives out fear. 1 John 4 and verse 18. So fear is conquered by a personal, intimate love relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Redeemer, and the indwelling Holy Spirit, who delivers us from a spirit of fear, so that Paul can write to Timothy, his young son in the faith, and say, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind." So there's a difference between natural fear that is healthy and often a warning signal for us where there's danger, and a spirit of fear that enslaves us in a bondage of fearfulness. The good news this evening is that Jesus does not want you, dear friend, to be full of fear. "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," the Bible says. God's word says it. We must believe it. God gives us all this evening a mind that understands that our Heavenly Father has a good reason for everything he allows, even in allowing this global pandemic. And God is able to deliver us from all our fears. We have a shepherd who loves us so much that even in the valley of the shadow of death we fear no evil, because he's with us and his goodness and mercy flank us all the days of our life. Even death becomes a friend, ushering us into his presence, and we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, what was enough for Jesus in his relationship with his heavenly Father is enough for us in our relationship with him. With the Lord as our shepherd, we need fear no evil, because our life is hidden with Christ in God. He is omnipotent. That means his strength is adequate in every situation. He is our rock and our fortress, says the psalmist. Of whom shall we be afraid? We will not fear what man can do to us. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is the one who knows all things. Nothing takes God by surprise. He is the source of all knowledge and all wisdom. He knows the way I take, says Job, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job 23 and verse 10. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere, everywhere. Even if I try to make my bed in hell, he will be there, and he will not let me go. Where can I flee from his presence? The psalmist asks, and the answer, nowhere. God is before me, he's behind me, he's beside me. He will never leave me, never forsake me, never, never, never. He is with me in the present, he'll be with me in the future. Moment by moment, we're kept in his love. Moment by moment, we have life from above, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, dear Lord, we are thine. Goliath must have presented an amazing giant of a figure, literally, to young David the teenager. But you know, our Lord dwarfs every enemy that we might face in this life. All you need is a sling and a stone when God is with you. The sling of the Spirit of God and the stone of the Word of God, the sling of the blood of Jesus and the stone of prevailing prayer, these will conquer the enemy of fear. So let's cut to the chase. And how do you slay then the giant of fear? As Jesus has shown us, as David would show us when he slays Goliath, it's a matter of relationship. It's a matter of relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, where you can say the Lord himself has taken responsibility for this fight. The battle belongs to the Lord, said David. He's the victor, not me, but I share his victory, which is imparted to me, and I take it by faith. Don't know if you ever watch the NASCAR races. I have friends who will never miss a Formula One race, and some in the United States will never miss the NASCAR races. But when you look at those beautiful NASCARs, you don't really see the NASCAR, do you? You see a beautiful but fragile fiberglass shell. The real world of NASCAR is underneath that facade. The steel it's covering, the cockpit, the controls, the roll bars, the powerhouse of an engine. You don't see it, but that's the real world of NASCAR, underneath the facade. Same with the Formula One races. So it is with the Christian. It is Christ in us that is the hope of glory. It is Christ in us who delivers us from all our fears. We're given the victory over fear through the Lord Jesus. Beneath the shell of this fragile body of mine is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like young David, my trust is in divinity, not in humanity. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, says the prophet Jeremiah. So when it comes to slaying the enemy of fear, there are just two questions you have to answer this evening. First question, which kingdom do you belong to? And the second question, which king do you serve? Which kingdom do you belong to tonight, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil where fear reigns? If we belong to the kingdoms of this world, we are likely to be fearful, for nothing in this world is safe or permanent. But the kingdom of God cannot be shaken, says the writer to the Hebrews. And Paul says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your affection where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Unshakable, unshakable God. The kingdom of God is within you as a Christian. The kingdom is a person, and that person is Jesus. And Jesus doesn't run scared. The first thing this evening is to make sure you belong to the kingdom of God, that you are born again, that you're a child of God. You've repented of your sin and placed your trust in Jesus, received him by faith as your Lord and Savior, Redeemer and King, and ask the Holy Spirit of God to not only give you new birth into the family of God, but to empower you for daily living and drive away every fear. So, which kingdom do you belong to? Second question is simply, which king do you serve? You see, friend, you'll always be running scared if you're following after other gods. Other gods like money or recognition or power or popularity or possessions or wealth or status or fame. Such goals and gods will always keep you fearful. But if you're truly surrendered to Jesus Christ and serving him, you'll have nothing to fear. Not poverty, not sickness, not disaster or loss, not even death. The secret of slaying the giant of fear is to be a student of the Lord Jesus, a true disciple who lives in the center of the will of God, like Jesus did. When you live as Jesus lived, God delivers you from all your fears. How did he live? Well, watch this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to care for the poor, give sight to the blind, liberate the oppressed, share the good news of the gospel. We fight fear by loving God with all our heart and loving others as he loved us. Such love drives away all fear. We only fear when we have something to lose. The fully surrendered disciple of Jesus has nothing to lose. When you're doing the Father's will, like Jesus, you have nothing to fear. The Holy Spirit gives you your bearings. He gives you the power to trust and obey, and with a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind, you overcome the enemy of fear. In the middle of a fearful storm on Lake Galilee, Peter could make the thing he feared most, this raging storm, this choppy sea, a pathway for his feet, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The very thing Peter feared was the thing that became a pathway for his feet as he kept his eyes on Jesus and obeyed the word of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus is not just the author or the beginner of our faith as Christians. He's the finisher. He's the one who brings our faith to completion. With the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end in charge of our lives, we really have nothing to fear. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. So do not fear, says the Lord, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Listen, friend, the only time David felt afraid when he was getting ready to take on the giant was when he tried on King Saul's armor. You cannot slay giants with somebody else's armor. David suddenly realized he would go to war against the giant with false security if he put on Saul's armor. You can't take on the giant of fear with somebody else's testimony, somebody else's faith. Nor will you ever win this battle against fear if you take an unbiblical route. So often people take the wrong road to ward off their fears, turning to maybe alcohol or drugs or self-help courses or psychology or trying to make more money or get more entertainment or do more comfort eating or have more sex or gamble or even move to another town or country. Fear has an amazing driving force if it's in control. Friend, you have to close the wrong doors, and you have to face the reality of your fear and press into the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God, and the Lord will take care of you as you claim the promises of God. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He has delivered me from all of my fears. When the disciples were terrified in the storm, Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith. Why? Because unbelief incubates fear. Unbelief incubates fear. Unbelief is the dark room where the devil develops his negatives of fear. On the other hand, the word of God builds faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, hearing the truth about Jesus. God doesn't want you to medicate or mask your fears this evening with tranquilizers or the latest psychological techniques or whatever. God wants to deliver you from all of your fears by the power of the blood of Jesus and the filling of the Holy Spirit, just as he did to the fearful believers on the day of Pentecost. For fear of Jewish persecution, they were locked behind closed doors. But when they were open to the infilling of the Holy Spirit of Jesus in their lives were absolutely changed, transformed from fearfulness to boldness. And they became so bold and so free of fear through the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. And so as we close this evening, I pray that you'll be able to identify with the psalmist who said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When I am fearful, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortal man do to me? Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for showing us this evening that the deeper our relationship with you, the smaller our fears become. You are the God who delivers us from all our fears, and so may it be so today, as we invite you to forgive us anew, cleanse us anew, fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Keep your mighty hand upon us through all the days of this coronavirus pandemic, and keep us all growing in the grace and experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for evermore. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.